It's HBR, All Things Considered, member supported Hawaii Public Radio, and I'm Dave Lawrence. It's Engelbert Humperdinck, who is doing his two nights this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Hawaii Theater. It was in the last couple of months, I guess, we did our first phoner, but thank you so much for taking time to join us here in Honolulu.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you, especially for this special occasion. But I just hope that the storm keeps away, and I've been bending God's ear, and I'm sure that he's been listening to a lot of people.
I'm seizing on your optimism that the storm is going to pass by. I'm also seizing on some Hawaii history of yours in between the last time that we spoke and now. Steve, the mystery emailer, if a guy like you comes to town, for instance, he'll send me over email that says, August 4th, 1970, Engelbert Humperdinck made his Hawaii debut at the Blaisdell Arena, backed by a 30-piece orchestra conducted by his conductor, Laurie Holloway, opening act, Burgundy Express. Do you remember that?
No, Burgundy Express. But I can remember the fact that we did a great show and people loved what we did. And I'm happy to be back to redo something that might make him write another email like that.
Another one that you did, another sold-out show at the Blaisdell Arena in the early 80s, presented by Tom Moffat. A few of your shows were, he passed away.
Wonderful man. You're a wonderful man.
You came back in 87, and you did this show at the Hawaii Ballroom, Sheraton Waikiki Hotel, in December 87. And the very next night, after the concert, there was a special fan celebration, a luau for Engelbert, they called it. It was the Diamond Head Lawn of the Sheraton Waikiki Hotel. Is that the one where Bruno Mars got up on the table, or was that a different event?
No, that's a different occasion. What happened was my fan clubs from all over the world held a fan club party for me in Honolulu. The entertainment that night, believe it or not, was a young five-year-old boy called Bruno Mars. And I said to him then, I said, Bruno, you're going to be a big star, young man. And he's not a big star, he's a megastar, you know. And now I just recorded one of his songs on my latest album.
What a thrill, though, to see that. When you look back at that video, can you even believe how full circle? And then you're recording his tune, and just amazing your connection to Bruno Mars. Now, does he know about, have you had any communication with him, both about your cover or about the special that you're taping?
Not as yet, no. Yeah, but I hope one day to meet him again.
Any chance that he might show up at the thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be a hell of a surprise. When you came to picking that tune, was it your idea? Did you hear it on the radio? Like, give a little insight, because you've covered people throughout your career. What made that tune appealing to you?
Just the way you are. When I heard it, well, I love his work anyway, but my producer brought the song to me, and that's how it all came about. And, of course, we took it to an arranger in New York who did an amazing new style of arrangement of it, and it's a lot different to what Bruno does, but I gave it more of a ballad feel.
You hit on something really key about your whole career, the arranging, and throughout your life you've tackled other people's songs, and maybe you just provided some insight. In each case, did you go to like a pro arranger who helped you come up with what would be a unique take on it?
Arrangers are one of the most important people, because they're the backbone to the song that they're going to put out. But I've worked with some great arrangers in my life. Johnny Harris is one of them, Les Reed, and Charlie Colello.
It was a really critical thing. And these days, like when you did the last record, is it one guy who you go to lean on for this stuff? Or depending on the composition, are there different kinds of people you think could handle it better?
It depends on the song, yeah, who the arranger's going to be. And plus the fact that you've got your producer who's very instrumental in getting these people involved as well, because I don't do personally, so you get your producer to do it. And we've come up with some great arrangers, and I'm happy with the album.
I love one of your classic ones, The Police, Every Breath You Take. I was watching you do that on a festival show. It's a huge outdoor crowd. And you're right, when you said that about the arranging, it's like, that's really, when you cover a tune, how you do it can make a big difference. And how you slow it down, the tempo, you really nailed that.
Well, it was a good song.
And the shows, you're filming, very special this weekend. Again, we're talking with Engelbert Humperdinck. He's back in Hawaii. Two shows, Hawaii Theater, Saturday and Sunday. And they're not just shows. You're kind of following in the footsteps of a cat that, I remember when we were talking on the phone, I'm just paraphrasing, you told me it was Elvis's Aloha from Hawaii, and you said, man, I want to do a special there someday.
Yeah, well, the fact is I did watch Elvis' show, and I still watch it all the time. And it gave me that feeling, I would love to go to that Paradise Island and record a TV show. And it's finally come to pass. And so here we're going to do it. I hope it's going to be great. And I hope the audience are going to be there to help me make it great. The last time I played here, audiences were fabulous. And I'm hoping for the same kind of reaction this time, all these many years later.
Really makes a difference around the world, too. Huh? When people don't have English as their native language, is there any difference in that energy or reaction that you're talking about?
You'll be surprised. It's amazing. I mean, I've been fortunate to have a global career. Right. And, you know, I can go to places like Russia and I can tell you something. The Russian people do not speak English very well, but they can sing my songs. I don't understand it. They come to my show, they sing along with me.
And you've got some greetings, too. I was watching another cool video. Engelbert really customizes his shows when he is in a place. And I can imagine that will bring people closer to you, too. What do you say to them in Russian?
Well, I know how to thank them. And I know how to say good evening, ladies and gentlemen, in every language. In Russian, it's Dobro vecher, dami i gospoda. You know, so I could say that in most languages. In Germany, you know, guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren, you know. Chinese. Go away, lai bing ne hama.
Say that one more time.
Go away, lai bing ne hama.
And it comes in handy because it crosses a bridge, right? It's like people are like, wow, this guy takes the time. It's how you carry yourself. It made me think the ability to be a performer, the unique nature of what you do on stage. We just lost Aretha Franklin. Is there any stories you can share? Did your paths ever cross?
I wished I could, but I never did get to meet Aretha. And all my life, I mean, I've met major big names in this industry, but I never got to meet her.
What made me think of her, not only, of course, her passing and what a talent she was, but I was looking, you say, in major names. This all-star duet released not that many years ago, too, Engelbert Calling. Elton John, or Sir Elton John, rather, Johnny Mathis, Willie Nelson, Olivia Newton-John, Sir Cliff Richard, Smokey Robinson, Kenny Rogers, Neil Sedaka, Gene Simmons, Dionne Warwick. Those are just some of the names. Yeah. Again, is it a producer who comes to you, or do you say, man, I got to have Gene Simmons from Kiss? I mean, what makes you drive to get these people?
Well, actually, you approach these people, and when we approached Gene Simmons, he just said yes immediately. I couldn't understand it, you know, because he's so far and different to my style of music, you know. But he was so great in the studio. He was friendly and helped me in lots of ways, made me feel comfortable. He's a major star.
Had you ever met him before?
No, I hadn't.
Because of technology, sometimes people can do stuff separately. So were you together with everybody?
I did quite a few separately, you know, but I got Elton in the studio, which was great. He's magic.
And that goes back a long time.
It does, yeah. I've known Elton a long time.
1970, approximately, when was the...
Prior to that. Before that, we all had names. When we used to hang out in coffee bars in the Tin Pan Alley in London, looking for work.
Were you Jerry Dorsey yet, or
Jerry then? Yeah, I was Jerry then.
What's the Jerry Lewis? That's how it happened, right? It was you were Arnold George Dorsey, and you became Jerry Dorsey because of your Jerry Lewis impersonation.
Yeah, in the early days, you had to do something other than didn't sing to get work when I was first starting in the business. So I did impressions, and there were very few people I did impressions of. One of them was Jerry Lewis, the other was Dean Martin, you know. And we had a guy called Frankie Vaughan in England, who was wonderful. I used to do impression of him, Sammy Davis. That's how I made a living in the early days. But now I've recorded so many songs and so many albums that my stage act has taken up doing the songs that people hear on the disc.
Well, that leads me to my final question for you. When you think of the songs that you go to play on your show, is there one that when you like to sing the words, maybe it makes you feel like sometimes songs are just part of your job. You've got to do them. Other songs you have a more personal attachment to.
Sometimes I sing songs that don't belong to me. You know, like for instance, there's a song on my show I've never recorded. Paul Simon, I do Bridge Over Troubled Waters. My rendition gets a tremendous reaction, and it amazes me, you know, because I haven't recorded it. It comes over great. That's one of the great songs I like to sing in the show.
Is one that people know, and when you break it out live, it kind of stuns them, and there's a genuine connection.
It's the magic that, you know, you do yourself on stage. You put your little touch of what God gave you and make it a different story to other people's.
Right. That's what we were saying earlier. You own the song. You make it your own version, and it becomes kind of a signature thing. Bands have done that throughout history, and I'm always impressed by that. And Engelbert Humperdinck is one of those artists. We're thrilled that he took some time for us, following up his phone call. Very good man. He said he would do it, and he did. And he's in town for two shows, Hawaii Theater, Saturday and Sunday night, filming a TV special that will air on public television coming up later in the year, and we'll be looking forward to that. But we'll always be grateful that you took time for us here on HPR and All Things Considered. Thank you so much, brother.
You're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you. Aloha, everyone. What a treat this is. I'm Engelbert Humperdinck, and it's a pleasure to join you. It has taken a lifetime finally to achieve the incredible milestone. You and I with my dear friend, Dave Lawrence. Aloha, Davey boy.
When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, 'cause you're amazing just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. Girl, you're amazing just the way you are. Her lips, I could kiss them all day if she'd let me. Her laugh, she hates, but I think it's so sexy. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.